In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Some words of Pope Francis. Lent is a time to proclaim that God alone is Lord, to drop the pretense of being self-sufficient and the need to put ourselves at the center of things, to be the top of the class, to think that by our own abilities we can succeed in life and transform the world around us. I guess if it were to be printed as a sermon from the pulpit of St. Thomas, we might give it the title, "It's Not Just About Me." There's a lot of that going on at the moment in the world and in politics around the world, isn't it? It's not just about me. Over the next 5 Sundays, Father Gioia and I are going to alternate our sermons and reflect together on what it means to build community and the difference a Christian community can make to civil society. And this is flowing from our experience of preparing for the project Neighbor to Neighbor on a Saturday morning. Now, if any of you attended or have since listened to some of the excellent lectures from our bicentennial symposium last year, you'll have noticed that theme was loud and clear, that the church, as the body of Christ, is very much involved in civil society and engages with it on all kinds of levels. Now, as you know from my accent, in England, where I come from, the Church of England is by law established, and that means it is involved in all levels of national life, from the bishops sitting in the upper house of legislature, the House of Lords, scrutinizing government policy, to running schools in some of the poorest areas of Europe. In the United States, public and private religion is meant to be kept separate. But this does not mean that the Christian church, as the body of Christ, is not involved in all levels of American society, from canvassing of politicians to, yes, running schools in poor areas of cities. You don't need to belong to a church by law established to be an influencer. So for the church to influence society, for the church to build a beloved community, where do we start? Over the course of these 5 weeks, Father Luigi and I will attempt to draw threads from one another's sermons and weave those threads into the gospel reading of the day. Now, I'm afraid it's not going to be that easy because we didn't choose the gospel readings. How on earth does building community and civic engagement fit in with today's gospel reading of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness? In fact, the gospel seems to be simply about Jesus all on his own. Well, as Pope Francis put it so simply, Lent is the time to proclaim that God alone is Lord, to drop the pretense of being self-sufficient and the need to put ourselves at the center of things, to be the top of the class, to think that by our own abilities we can succeed in life and transform the world around us. Sounds very much like what Jesus was doing in the wilderness. Before he even began his ministry, Jesus needed to go into the wilderness to be alone, to discover who he really was. Before he could even teach the people about God's love, the values of the kingdom, and building a beloved community, he had to face his own temptations, to put himself first, to be the center of all things. And isn't that at the heart of the 3 temptations we heard in the gospel today? If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Yummy. To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Yes, you too can run a government committee. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. Forget Broadway, Jesus. If you are the Son of God. You see, my friends, today's gospel is a good starting point for us to explore what it means to build community, because it reminds us that we do not start with others. We don't start with other people. We start with ourselves. We start by examining who we are, where we are going. By so doing, we deepen our self-awareness, and that is surely going to affect the way that we treat others. Now, I'm not talking about going to see a psychiatrist, though I have to say sometimes that can be quite a good thing. I'm talking about facing our own demons in the way that Jesus Christ faced Satan in the wilderness. Jesus wasn't just having, just a little meditation moment. He saw the devil, and we sometimes walk with demons. They may not be those fantastical beasts, but you know what I'm talking about. And what did Jesus do? Did he dismiss him? No, he did not. He listened to him. He actually went with him. He traveled with him. He listened to what the devil had to say. He reflected on it before he answered him. By coming to terms with what we find difficult, like Jesus, we can discover our true self, our true calling. In other words, we discover that we really are made in God's image. How often do we carry such a burden of guilt? How often do we look in the mirror in the morning and don't like what we see? So many people join churches or charities to do good. They want to help the poor, to make a difference, to change society for the better. And oh my goodness, it happens in lots of charities and certainly lots of churches. They arrive and the first thing they want to do is to sign up and volunteer for absolutely everything. They forget to start with themselves. How do they fit in to this community? If we do not start with ourselves, there is a danger that our good works become ends in themselves, not a means to an end. Look how successful I am. Pope Francis went on to say in that sermon, Lent is a time of truth, a time to drop the masks we put on each day to appear perfect in the eyes of the world. Lent is a time, as Jesus said in the gospel, to reject lies and hypocrisy, not those of others, but of ourselves. Look them in the face and grapple with them. Dropping our masks means that we take the risk to reveal our true selves to God, and yes, possibly to one another. And ironically, by dropping our masks, we can learn to discover who someone else is, because we are less likely to stereotype them. When I come to neighbor on a Saturday morning when I can, I am often asked by the guests, are you the pastor? And of course I say I am. But I also remember that I am someone who does not have to worry about being cold or hungry or being ill or feeling unsafe, or worried about being deported. If I do not reflect on my own pretense, my own masks, I cannot change the power differential between me and those who are not guests, but neighbors, and therefore part of my community. Let me share with you two examples of saintly people. After Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta died, her private letters to her confessors and spiritual directors were published. She never wanted them published, but they decided they would. And they have helped so many people because they reveal that she, Mother Teresa, was also regularly in the wilderness, like Jesus, and facing her own demons, her own temptations. We all saw the smiley, saintly figure of the little woman who seemed to find it so easy to care for the poor and the dying in abject poverty, so easy to pray. Instead, if you read her letters, you discover that she knew only too well about wearing a mask. Writing to one of her spiritual directors, she said these incredible words: "If you only knew what goes on within my heart, sometimes the pain is so great I feel as if everything will break. The smile is a big cloak which covers a multitude of pains. Pray for me, please." And the second is the great late spiritual giant Henry Nouwen, who spent 9 months in a Trappist monastery searching for something, searching for a deeper understanding of who he was. As he struggled to see God in his life, he struggled with depression, as well as demands placed on him by those in authority in the church. He wrote many amazing spiritual works, but he struggled with intimacy and celibacy and all the things the church required of him, and he wasn't frightened to face up to them. He saw his spiritual director, who gave him some important words. His spiritual director said to him, "Henry, the question is not so much how to live for the glory of God, but how to live who we are, how to make true our deepest self, how to make true our deepest self." And his spiritual director went on to say, "Henry, if the glory of God is not where I am, where else can it be?" So, my friends, to build community, to build a beloved community, to engage with civil society, I think we have to begin with ourselves. It's a good place to start on this first Sunday of Lent, because Lent, as the Pope reminds us, is a time for self-reflection. A reflection that will help us grow. And then when we try to help others, it will come from the heart and not from a set of ideas, or worse, from what we think we ought to be doing. I want to end with some words of Bishop Mary. She wrote this to the clergy. She writes every week to us. She calls it an unofficial letter, just in case somebody doesn't like it. She said this: "We who witness Jesus vanquish the devil may likewise dare to imagine the fearful landscapes of our own lives transfigured. Even the exhausted and weak among us may be brave enough to take his example, to resist evil and to choose right, to speak our no and our yes. For the desert is not God forsaken, and nor does it belong to the devil. The desert is God's home. The Holy Spirit is there, within us and beside us. And if we cannot feel that Spirit inside of us or at our side, well, perhaps we can at least imagine Jesus there, not too far away, with enough in Him to sustain us and to make us brave.